Hello and yes, welcome to the Jazz Life from Jupiter podcast. It's been ages. Even a year. Almost a year, in fact. Sorry.
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah, I've been... Christ. A year?
Yes. Almost.
God. Wait, so when did we last... It was...
17th of January.
17th of January?
Yes.
My God.
Yeah.
Bloody. Well, yeah. Well, have you been up to much?
Well, I got into university studying jazz.
Have you?
So that is relevant, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wow. What about yourself?
You know, this and that, I mean, it hasn't, it's been, yeah, it's not been a great, let's put it that way.
Why?
Alcohol, you know, it's not, yeah.
Okay.
I've been in a bad st-
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We haven't got to talk about it.
Okay.
Well, before we get on to the news, we've got some news of our own, actually. Our news that is before the news, which is still news because it's relevant to the news, so it's our news. We are no longer a southern-based... We're no longer southern-based, basically.
Oh,
we
no.
We are both up north. And the thing that Theo was saying about being an alcoholic is because he's actually a student, because he's now in Huddersfield. And I'm in Leeds. So I don't really know what that was about, being an alcoholic.
Well...
Whereas we are actually students now.
Yes.
How are you finding student life?
Difficult. I think the best thing you can deal with being a student is by alcohol. Which reminds me, where's the glass?
Sound advice.
And that is pretty much it.
Anyway. Time for the news.
Yes, on to the news.
The news.
So, I wanted to bring this up. It's actually the Jazz Plaza Festival 2016. It's in Havana, of all places. And maybe just have a look at the lineup. I mean, Christian McBride Trio, extraordinary. Snarky Puppy. They're only just some of the brilliant names playing at this festival. It's by Blue Note Entertainment, actually. And this sounds really good.
Was that you pouring a glass of something there?
Sorry?
I did hear a clink of glasses yeah. there. Was that you pouring yourself a drink or something?
Yes, let's leave that.
Okay.
And that is that's basically that. I mean, we're a bit dry on news to this week, but...
Are we? I thought we were... Okay. Never mind. I have a question for you, though.
What?
What did you think of the new Cowley drop?
Oh, the new Cowley album. As most of you may well know, I'm actually a really, really quite big fan of Neil Cowley Trio's work. Especially the bass player, Rex Horan. I think he's amazing. He's a great virtuoso. And I have to say, I absolutely love the new album. I think The City and the Stars, as a song, is really well done. The music video is slightly of a boy band nature. I quite like it, though. And I think I've never really heard a jazz trio sound anything like this in my life. So it's quite refreshing, quite new. I think you should go and buy it.
Massive plug there for the new Cowley album.
Yeah, I think it deserves it, though. Yourself?
So, you described the music video as being almost like a boy band.
Yes.
What was that all about?
Well, they... for anyone that hasn't seen it, basically, they are walking down the tube, and they get into a tube train, they go on a journey, and then the tube... something happens to it, it goes black, They wake up in this really old-fashioned tube train, and it basically goes...
you can't remember, can you?
No, it's outside this quarry, and it's like something out of Doctor Who from the 1970s. I don't know if that's what they were trying to achieve. But it looks good, and obviously done on a budget, but it looks good, and I quite enjoy it. As per usual, Neil Cowley's flawless. The whole band's flawless, really. I can't remember the drummer's name. It is something. I can't remember his name. But
I'm sure he does have a name, yeah.
But they've got a really good rhythm section, and they've kind of pushed the instrumentation on this album in terms of kind of synthesizers and kind of... like envelopes and stuff like that. It sounds really good. What do you think of the song?
I really enjoyed it.
And there is also a really good... Sorry to interrupt. There's That's also okay. a really good other song on there on the album, and I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, it's really good, though.
That's
really
handy. Enjoyed it. Anyway, I think that... I really enjoyed it, but I think that I'm one of those people that enjoys... I actually prefer... their older albums than that one. Not that I don't like it, and I appreciate the new sound, because I feel like they're sort of going for a new sound. But yeah, I really like, for me, Faces of Mount Molehill is like such a good album. I think it was going to take a lot to beat that one for me personally. So I think that it's different on so many levels that you can't really compare it to the Faces of Mount Molehill. But yeah, I've always preferred that album, I think. Which we did review, as you said rightly. We did actually review that album.
Yeah.
So you should definitely go and check that out. We reviewed that about a year ago.
Was it about a year ago?
I think it was before January, yeah, so it's probably around Christmas time.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow. The song that I was thinking of was Eco Nebula. There's also another really good one called Grace, which is basically a typical kind of piano ballad, but it's
ballad.
Extremely well played. It's quite a subtle kind of, there's no other way to describe it than a ballad, but it's very beautiful, and that's all you can say about it, really. Eco Nebula is another great one, actually. Very like a soft, kind of smooth, straight down the line, kind of a bit more jazz song.
Didn't you just
quite atmospheric?
Isn't the song that you just described called Eco Nebula?
Yes,
but
Eco Nebula.
Echo Nebula. Eco Nebula.
Eco Nebula.
Haven't you just mentioned that twice?
Sorry?
I swear you've just mentioned that song twice.
No, I said Grace before. You need to open your ears. But
sorry.
Echo Nebula, definitely great. For some reason, I just can't read stuff on this podcast.
You're
a long-term listener, Jesus. Really good album, actually. Recommend it to anyone. And they're also playing at Union Chapel on the 27th of October. I believe that's going to be a live album. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, really? No
I'm
way.
I'm pretty sure. And they're actually doing like a competition where you can win two tickets to go and see them play live at Union Chapel. I believe that is in. I think that's in Hackney. And
very
I
nice.
Might be wrong, but I think I'm right. And that's gonna. I don't know. Pretty bloody extraordinary. I wish I was.
But
I'm stuck in the north of England next to a load of freaks. Oh God.
Wow.
Controversial. I'm
very
joking,
controversial.
I'm a joke. We might have to edit this bit out, but
yeah. Anyway,
no, really, really good album. Really great cover as well. Actually, love the cover. I don't know who the cover's by, but it looks amazing. It's kind of like a drawn image of a gorilla wearing a space suit.
Oh yeah.
Everything, but all their album covers are really good. So, nothing new there.
I think that if you should going back to the where are they playing?
Union Chapel.
Union Chapel. I think that if anyone knows where Union Chapel is, they should tweet us at JazzLFJupiter. It's been a while since I've had to say that.
Yeah.
At Jazz LF Jupiter.
It's definitely near... I've got a feeling it's near Highbury and Islington. It's around that area, but...
Yeah.
Because they're one of the few kind of English kind of UK jazz trios that are still kind of, not still, but that are kind of coming out new. Usually if you hear jazz trios now, they're kind of American or kind of Western Europe, Eastern European. You don't really get many from this country. I don't know why. We just tend to go down the commercial, awful music road. But yeah.
Again, another controversial comment there.
Controversial comment, yeah. Do I have anything else to say? I don't think
I feel
so.
Like
just
I feel like out. I feel like that was a good news summing up. I feel like we should get onto the main brunt of the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll let you to announce this one, Theo.
Okay, so this week we're going to be reviewing. It's a really great album, actually. I've wanted to do this one for a while. It's a great classic, actually. And I know this is one that you like as well. And I'm about to get to the title of it. It's a great... I mean, I think
we've established that it's great, Theo.
Yeah, and it is Portrait in Jazz by Bill Evans.
It's such a good album.
It is... Well, where do you start?
Well... You kick us off with your favourite song on the album.
Okay, Autumn Leaves, of course.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah, I like Periscope as well.
I think... Actually, saying that, I would probably... I don't know, I like Witchcraft.
Blue and Green as well.
Yeah.
Have you got the version where there's three takes of it?
What, Blue and Green?
Yeah.
No?
No, there is a version where there's three takes.
I've got that massive box, haven't I? Full of it's Bill Evans. I mentioned it. It's Bill Evans from like 58 to 65 or something like that.
Oh right, okay.
It's like a massive box set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's got Scott LaFaro on drums.
Double bass.
On double bass.
Yeah.
I read
that
wrong.
For those of you don't know, I'm a double bass player, predominantly jazz double bass, and Scott LaFaro is one of my all-time favourite heroes ever. He just plays that instrument. If you look at the really, you look at the really early recordings by Bill Evans, and LaFaro, when he takes he just absolutely kills it. No other bass player has that presence, and someone else has got his bass now, and I can't remember their name. But it's a bald chap that lives in New York.
That narrows it down.
I know. And he says, and I think he's
if you know
right,
who you are, tweet this in at jazzlftjupiter.co.uk.
And he's got LaFaro's bass, and he says, you should never judge a bass player by their instrument, but this instrument just adds so much. It's just incredible. It's just a beautiful instrument. It's a massive instrument, but it really does. It just cuts through everything.
Yeah.
If you listen to those early Evans albums, because he was his first bass player, of course, it just manages to cut through everything. It's incredible. And drums as well. We shouldn't forget Paul on drums.
Did you know that he recorded it 8 months after he'd released Kinda Blue with Davis?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think it definitely shows, but
yeah. I like the way he's actually put on there he's put on the Blue and Green.
Yes.
I really like that.
Yeah. I mean it's a brilliant album. Definitely if you haven't heard this kind of it's one that you need to listen to. I think if you're just getting into jazz,
it's one like kind of blue. If you want to listen to a really good, an incredible jazz pianist, and you know, you can learn, if you're studying, you can learn so much from someone like that, because his phrasing is incredible. Just coming from someone who studies jazz, his phrasing's like so good, it's crazy.
And yeah, you have all these different takes, so that you can hear kind of all these different interpretations of these songs.
They did that with Kind of Blue, didn't they? Where they brought out the 50th anniversary and it had loads of extended takes and alternative versions and stuff.
And there was, speaking of Scott LaFaro, there's an album called The Legendary Scott LaFaro. If any of you are really kind of interested in jazz bass, it's just kind of Scott, and he's kind of, some of his greatest works are all on that. So if you want to really get into the man, like get into his head, I guess, definitely check that out. Really good album. Amazing bass player, amazing piano, amazing drums. I don't really know what else you can say about this one, other than there's loads of editions of it. You can get it anywhere. I'm sure if you go in like HMV, it's on iTunes, on Spotify, it's basically everywhere. Highly recommended. I think that's it. Yeah.
If you, I think it's a time for the ratings.
Yeah. So. For that Neil Cowley one, by the way, I'll probably give it about a 7. And for this, for Portrait
and
Jazz...
That's 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10, yeah, 7 out of 10. For this, I'd probably give it... probably about a 9.5.
9.5 out of 10, that's a high score.
Yeah.
Comparing that to Kind of Blue, what would that be?
Kind of Blue is 10.
Oh, Kind of Blue's 10, is it? Okay. I'd give the Neil Cowley like a 6.5.
Okay.
Simply because I think that the ideas behind it are amazing. I love the new kind of sound, the more synthy sort of stuff. But it's just simply because I'm stubborn and I really, 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 really like Face of Matt Mulhill. For me, that's such a good album.
Yeah.
And for... the Bill Evans, I would give it a 8 out of 10, simply because I prefer Waltz for Debbie, the album.
Oh, okay.
Or Live at the Village Vanguard, those two.
Oh, that's such a good album.
Those two are like my favourites, like Waltz for Debbie and Live at the Village Vanguard. Oh, such a good album.
That is good.
All of his Village Vanguard albums are so good, like so well produced.
Yeah.
So well recorded, and like the playing as well is like incredible.
Of course they are, yeah.
So if we were talking about Live at the Village Vanguard, I'd give it 12 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, our Twitter is at JazzLFJupiter, and our website is www.jazzlivefromjupiter.co.uk. So that's about it really, isn't it? For the first one of the new series.
Yes.
We're going to try and do this every week, but we can't guarantee everything, obviously, trying to do it as well as studying, but you never know, we might get round to it, and hopefully we're going to get some new faces on as well, so you never know. Might mix it up a bit, and thanks for listening.
Bye,
Theo.
Goodbye. Have a good week, yeah.
And you, mate. Enjoy your alcohol abuse.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.